on a Monday night. We talk business and boring with Business Insider's Andrew Thompson. And tonight we're going to be talking about a serious issue, but something that we all have to confront, especially in these days of pandemic, in these days of crisis, and in these days of existential reckonings with many of us. The coronavirus has brought a huge demand for wills, as whether we like it or not, the specter of death hangs over us. In Australia, the demands for wills soared by 300% in March, according to one report. And there's also been a sharp increase in the demand for wills all over the world, including the United States. While the BBC reports wills being signed on car bonnets and witnessed through windows as Brits rush to complete wills while still complying with strict legal requirements. And in South Africa, the demand for wills has also increased, and according to one of the country's biggest wills and estates administration providers, Legacy Capital, they say the virus has caused people to confront death in a way that's spurring a demand for wills. Business Insider's Andrew Thompson joins me on the line now. It's not a really pleasant topic to be researching and to be writing about, but I guess something that we all have to confront. Welcome again to the show, Andrew.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's one of those topics that are they're not fun to do, and they make you as the journalist confront a lot of your own sort of skeletons in the closet, and you're sort of starting to think, you know, is everything of mine in order? But it's also one of those things that's hugely essential for anyone. And I think often we think, oh, I'm young, or I don't have a lot of money, or you know, I'm going to leave it all to my wife or my parents. But I think in times like this, yeah, we spend a lot of time actually realizing how important it is to actually just have these documents in place. And that, I think, has surged demand for wills around the world.
Now, of course, the COVID-19 pandemic has focused everyone's attention, you know, on the possibility of passing away and the uncertainty of life. There has been a massive spike in inquiries. We've already, as I said in my introduction, a 300% increase in Australia in terms of the demand for wills and other documents. What have we seen here in South Africa?
Yeah, so in South Africa, there's no official figures, but there are a lot of companies who do wills and who offer them as services. And I mean, one company that I've spoken to has seen as much as 600% increase, 660% increase in inquiries for wills compared to the same period last time, this time last year. So, you know, basically, the financial planners are hitting their busiest periods ever in what's usually traditionally a very quiet period. So, yeah, I think at least a 600% increase with the guys I spoke to about the topic.
And that's very interesting. This time, everyone sort of in that lull between just after Christmas, the end of financial year is in April. So this usually is supposed to be a very quiet period for businesses, particularly in the financial sector industry, as they're trying to tie up business ends to wrap up the financial year. But we are seeing quite a lot of companies offering a almost bespoke, from the highly structured, very personalized service to websites that are now offering you this one-size-fits-all type of legal documents that you can just print, sign, and maybe just have it notarized or signed off at the police station. Everyone's sort of getting in on it now.
Yeah, so it's really, I mean, if your estate is fairly simple, it's really easy to actually to do a will. And you know, there's a bit of a misconception that there's, you know, you need a lawyer or you need a financial planner. If your will is really simple, you can actually pretty much do it yourself. But if you have any sort of questions or you know, you're unsure about anything, it's really important to seek professional advice. So what a lot of companies are now doing are actually, you know, you can basically consult with people via Zoom, and they'll do, or a telephonic interview, and they'll talk you through the will, and they'll help you out with the process. But one of the big difficulties is that a will for it to be valid is has a lot of requirements that actually don't take into account lockdown situations. So you need two witnesses. Those witnesses can't be beneficiaries in your will. You need a printer. A lot of people don't have printers. So it's presented a lot of very sort of complex issues that people have had to get around, whether that means temporarily breaking lockdown conditions to try and get a neighbor to sign it, or whether it means somehow sort of finding a loophole. There's a lot of question marks that are left open about how to do it if you haven't already set your will up. And I think in those situations, it often helps to speak to a professional so that they can sort of guide you towards the best processes.
And there's still some consternation whether electronic signatures are in fact valid. I have like a little JPEG that I keep on my desktop so that if I have documents that need to be in Joburg right now, then I would just sort of copy and paste that signature on. But in many cases, those don't have legal standing.
Yeah, it seems bizarre in this day and age that there still are documents that we need to get to pen on ink and pen on paper and actually go and sign it physically. And wills is still one of those. Technically, the guys I spoke to said that technically speaking, a will is not valid unless it's actually been physically signed, as opposed to those little JPEGs. So quite what happens, the guys I spoke to didn't actually have a solid answer, but quite what happens if someone dies during this lockdown period with a will that's complete but not signed in ink, you know, there's a lot, I guess, as in many departments at the moment, there are a lot of unanswered questions around it.
I can kind of see the reasoning. It's sort of a will is your last will and testament. It's the last thing that you essentially leave behind. And I would see there's some almost emotional attachment to actually signing it pen on paper, maybe even a drop of blood and a fingerprint even. But yeah, there is something that is quite emotional, maybe even spiritual, about physically signing it.
Yeah, and I think there's often, even if there's not a huge amount of wealth to be left, there is a very symbolic process behind it that I think causes a lot of people just that moment of introspection or sort of self-awareness or our own mortality. And I think maybe it's that's further entrenched by that actual physical act of signing. And for the moment, there's not too much, there are not too many other ways around it, apart from maybe sliding it under your neighbor's fence or something and asking them to do it.
It is Monday night and we are speaking Business Unboring with Andrew Thompson. He's a freelance writer for businessinsider.co.za. Tonight we are talking about last wills and testaments as well as other legal documents. One company that Andrew spoke to is reporting more than a 600% increase in inquiries in wills. If you are one of them, you can drop me a WhatsApp 072-567-1567 and let me know what process you went through. And it's not just wills that people are now seeking documents for. but lighthearted, but I think also still some serious. We are seeing plenty of people, particularly in countries that have been in lockdown periods for much longer than us. I'm thinking of China. There are even reports of divorces coming from that. People are looking for divorce papers now as well.
Yeah, I mean, having cohabited for the last 2 weeks, I can see where that's coming from. I think a lot of people who weren't in long-term relationships or who were niggling issues in marriages, often those come to the fore during periods like this. And I spoke to one very compassionate lawyer who said that she fully expects that that divorces will spike because, you know, most of us can get over the little niggles and the little arguments, but if you're in a unhappy marriage and you've still got to resolve a lot of issues, now is a very difficult time to do it, and now is likely a time that comes to the fore. And in China there was which is probably the only place really that's sort of been through this process and come out. There've been two sides. I mean, one, there was a flood on marriages, but there was also a spike in divorces immediately after the lockdowns were eased in China, which I guess is, you know, we're not used to spending, you know, that much time, even if you're married, what the lawyer pointed out to me is that, you know, you've got time for hobbies and friends and work, and you're out and about, and you're probably only interacting with your partner for an hour or two a day in reality, whereas now it's 24/7. So it's a difficult time.
I'm not laughing because there's personal experience. I'm laughing because I'm hearing so many people saying the same things. Look, I'm fortunate enough to live in a household where my wife is also an essential worker, so we are busy throughout the day, and you know, our lives are sort of undisrupted at the moment. But I can really see how people are getting on each other's last nerve, you know, thinking it would only be for 3 weeks, and now it's all of a sudden for 5 weeks. How are you going to cope?
Yeah, I think, in my case, I think it's more the other way around. I think you should be asking the person I'm living with how she's going to cope. Because I'm definitely the one with the short temper here. But I think it's a fascinating time to sit and self-analyze and be and actually realize how difficult it is to coexist together in each other's space for so long. And what the lawyer Olivia Crocombe has told me is that a really good option if you're married is not to necessarily look straight to divorce, but to look towards mediation. And again, it's sort of one of these weird pivots that a lot of lawyers are now doing, online mediation, where I guess if depending on how bad it is, you and your partner sit at the dining room table and your lawyer sits at his or her dining room table and will mediate an issue for you that you can try and get through with a legal brand. So they're offering it more and more now on a digital perspective as well.
A virtual referee. I think that's quite novel.
Yeah.
but in this current time that we are living in, there's even the courts are open, but access to it is limited. That's usually only hearings for urgent matters. It's unlikely that you will, want to divorce today and then next week get a hearing. The administration of justice and law is also being hampered by this outbreak, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it would be very difficult to make a case for an urgent divorce under these circumstances, which is the only situation that I understand the courts would hear a divorce at this stage. I think the reality is also that immediately after this, the courts are going to be swamped as well with applications for divorces and marriages. The advice that I received, not personally but professionally for the article, was to try and resolve the problems while you can now, because that the courts are going to be swamped and it's going to be really difficult, even once the lockdown is lifted, to go and get a divorce hearing or to get your court date. So it really helps to look at the other options, look at things like mediation or consultation with professionals to try and resolve it now with a long-term plan in mind.
And I guess that's why it's probably necessary to ensure that you have all your documents all dotted, T's crossed and I's dotted and signed in all its places now, sooner rather than needing it later.
For sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
Andrew Thompson, he'll be back with us next week on our show, Business Unboring. You can go read more of Andrew's work on businessinsider.co.za. We'll see you next week, Andrew.